Okay, so we're learning Mishneh Berurah Hilchos Seder Leil HaPesach, and we're up to Simen Tov Ayin Gimel Se'if Zayin. You have the place? Yeah, excellent. So Mosgen Lo Miyad Kos Sheni Kedei Sheyish Alu HaTinokos Lama Shosim Kos Sheni Kodem HaSe'uda. Right. You immediately pour a second kos right after halach ma'anya. Right, so basically, you say kiddush, and then you lift up the bread, and then you ask to remove the ka'ara to go to the other side of the bread, to the other side of the table, or to take it off the table. And this already gets very confusing for the kid. And then you pour another kos. You take the ka'ara off. Oh, it could be that we didn't read that last time. If you look at Tofan Gimel Se'if Vav, at the end, the Mechaber writes, Yitzav ala hasir me'a ha-shochan, on nitchan b'sof ha-shochan, kilu kvar achlu kadesh yiro ha-tinokos v'yish'alu. Right, that you ask someone to remove the ka'ara from the table so that the kids see it and they ask a question like, what the heck is going on here? Right, you have all the food on the table. What? The ka'ara that has everything on it. Right, the kohar that has the karpas and it has the egg and it has the piece of meat, the seder plate, belaz. Right, Pesach we celebrate with matzah mara and the seder plate. So you ask someone to remove the seder plate. So that the kids ask, and now the kids are getting really confused because you make kiddush, you have this tiny little bit, you have this whole plate of food on the table. Then they say, "Hey, remove the food," and the kids like, "Why the heck are we removing the food?" And then they say, you know, what's it called? Then they say, pour another cup of wine. And the kid is like, one second, Dad, we just made Kiddush. Why are you pouring another cup of wine? And the Shulchan Aruch writes that the reason why you pour the other cup of wine now is Kiddush Yishalot HaTinokos. That this is a further thing that gets the kids to ask questions. It seemed to me that this is against the Yisod that we mentioned from Reb Chaim. If you remember yesterday, we mentioned the Yisod from Reb Chaim, that there's a halacha of Haggadah al Hakos. The halacha is a Haggadah has to be recited on the kos, and the famous episode that happened is once upon a time the kos spilled, and Reb Chaim, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, someone said that they have to repeat the Haggadah. So that, pardon me, that would seem that the halacha is that you pour the extra kos because it's a real din. The din of saying Haggadah al Hakos. However, the halacha over here, the way it appears in Shulchan Aruch, is very different. Shulchan Aruch says that the reason why we pour the kos is just so that the kids ask a question. Good? Are you with me, sir? So are you supposed to answer a question? So obviously, yes. Not only do they ask a question, so you're supposed to answer. In fact, many people, the Mishneh Berurah comments and the later poskim say this as well. Many people make a mistake. They wait for the kids to ask a question. The kids will say, ask the manishtana, and then they put the kids to bed. And that's really not proper, no? The proper... Sure. Well, you have to answer the question. The answer is Avodim Haginu, and in other words, that the kids are noticing that there's weird stuff that you're doing, and that the kids notice that you're doing some happy stuff, some sad stuff, some stuff that's Zechor La'av, some stuff that's Zechor La'cherus. Those are the questions, and the answer that we give is Avodim Hayinu Lefar B'Mitzrayim B'Yotzin Hashem L'Kem Yishom B'Yot Chazak V'Zer N'Tuyah. The answer that we give is that we used to be slaves, and now we were taken out, and you have to explain to the kid how all of the things that we do at the Seder are there to represent this transition between slavery and freedom. So if Many poskim say that if you put your kids to bed right after Manish Tana, you're not being yotze the mitzvah at all. The real mitzvah is that you have to, what's it called? That you have to give them the answer. Yeah. You have to give them the answer. Right. In other words, what we're trying to do is pique the kid's curiosity. We move the Seder plate, we pour another cup of wine, and then the kid is curious. And once the kid is curious, so the kid presumably will ask about all the contradictions that he or she sees at the Seder. And once the kid is asking about those contradictions, so then we'll spend the time to give answers to those contradictions. That's the way it works. That makes sense? Can you hear me now, Ben? Now let me... Can you hear me? I'm going to put this on mobile hotspot and see if it makes it better. You can hear me now? Yeah. One second, let me... Oh, that was your internet or my internet? Oh, okay, so let me... I turned on my mobile hotspot to get it to work. Let me turn it off. Apparently these mobile hotspots charge some money, so I'll just turn it off. Okay. So basically the halacha is that we want to pique the kid's curiosity, and once we pique the kid's curiosity, so then what we're doing is we hope that the kid will notice differences, and once the kid notices differences, so then we will answer. Now, im ein chachma bebein oviv melamdo, vim ein lo bein ishto sha'alto vim lav hu shoelas atmo, afil tamidei chachom shon munzaze manishtana. So if the kid doesn't know to ask questions, so then the father should point out to the kid, you know, some of the differences. Like part of education is making people sensitive to things that they're not noticing. So the father likes point stuff out. If there is no one around besides the husband and the wife asks. If there's really no one around, the husband asks himself. The leader of the Seder asks himself. That's the halacha. I actually saw Pinny Dunner publish this week an interesting thing that the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the year after the Rebbetzin was nifter, made a Pesach Seder all by himself. And the students in yeshiva at some point are like waiting, and the Rebbe opened the door, you know, to welcome Aliyahu HaNavi in at Shvoicha Moskva at the beginning of Niritza, etc. And the Rebbe was all on his own by the Seder. And this guy Pinny Dunner wrote, and I think it's a nice insight, you know, this year there are going to be many people who are alone for the Seder. And it's like a very frustrating thing that, you know, especially grandparents, they get such naches when they see their grandchildren and they hear them, you know, say the Manishtana, they hear them at the Seder. It's very difficult. So the fact that the Rebbe himself did this at one time, in some ways, that that should serve as some consolation to all the people who feel really saddened by having Seder on their own. I thought that was like a nice insight, but this is the halacha in Shulchan Aruch also, that if you're on your own, you have to ask questions. Who show Elas Atzmo? It's like a silly thing. What do you mean, who show Elas Atzmo? So I thought the pshat might be, who show Elas Atzmo means that when you have a Seder on your own, you have a responsibility to look into the text with new eyes and try to find new questions. Questioning is something, you know, there's a din, for example, that...
I like that.
You like that pshat? Okay, thank you. And there's a din, for example, that like sometimes if you're doing a tefillah, that's a question whether it's absolutely necessary. You have to be mechadish b'davar. So who shayla satsmo means that you ask questions yourself. I think we make a mistake. You know, you seem to have like a few young siblings around, but there is a concept of an adult seder. A seder where, as adults, we sit there, and we're making a huge mistake. We're selling ourselves short if we have the same Seder when we're 21 that we had when we're 11. But we're really missing out on a ton. And I think the idea of who shol es atzmo is that we're supposed to look at the text, ask our own questions, delve into ideas in a deeper, more profound way than we've done so beforehand. And to me, that's the pshat in who shol es atzmo. And that's also the pshat, and even Talmidei Chachomim, it says in the Mechaber, Shalim Zezeh Manishtana, they ask each other the Manishtana in the sense that even Talmidei Chachomim are supposed to point out differences, ask things that they didn't understand. The Seder is most similar to what they would call the Roman Symposium, where they would have deep, intricate conversations about philosophy and other matters over a meal. And that's really what we're trying to do. And for this reason, the Rama writes, those, you don't need those words, manishtana. The words manishtana, people make a mistake. They think that the Nusach HaHagadah is absolutely sacred, no? And you have to say Nusach HaHagadah. I don't think that's correct. I think the idea is, right, we saw already the Rambam wrote in Tafayin Gemel Se'ef Vav that the Re of Lundris would say the Haggadah in English. You don't have to say this particular text. So if someone noticed some differences, so you say, well, right, you patterned me for Manishtana, and let's go. That was a great question. That's a really nice insight. And now let's discuss the fact that we left Mitzrayim. Someone sent me a Shaila last night that he and his wife have a 4-year-old, and they wanted to know, can they have a more brief say there to keep their 4-year-old engaged? If you're just going to read the Hebrew words, you're going to lose your 4-year-old in approximately 9.6 seconds, no? So this guy was asking what could be done. So I told him, I think what you should do is look at the Haggadah carefully and explain the Haggadah according to the kid's level. Now, you could do that. You could take the text and say, you know what, we were slaves in Egypt. Now, what does it mean to be a slave? Explain to the kid what a slave is. Explain to the kid what it means to be in the foreign land. Explain to the kid what it means that you had a king called Paro, who's like this vicious king who is on top of us, who's giving us jobs that are completely unproductive. You go through these things and you can explain it all to the kids. You could do all of the Seder at the kids' level. Do it in English. Don't do it in Hebrew. But you get the themes of the Haggadah, and that's enough. And that's what the Mechaber, what the Rama means, that you don't have to say Manishtana. And that's what the previous Rama meant, that you could say the Haggadah in English. Don't make yourself crazy over the actual text of the Haggadah. It's important. It's nice. But at the same time, there are other. The main idea is to get the themes. That's what I would argue. The Mechaber continues.
What do you do when you have different levels of people there?
Yeah, so that's a real challenge. That's mamash a challenge. I think what you have to do is try to find something that's shavah l'chol nefesh. In other words, sometimes you ask very simple, basic questions, and then the youngest kid will pipe in some sort of answer, and then the older people at the Seder will answer that question in a more advanced, sort of way. That's what you're trying to do. You are right. You can ask the same question, and it could be answered on many different levels. I think that's the goal of how to run a Seder. Good?
Okay.
Weiter. When you begin Avonim Hayinu Lefar, you put the Ka'ara back. V'koyre Kol HaHagodah. And you read the entire Haggadah, etc. Now, before we go on, there's just one or two points I wanted to make in the Mishnah Berurah. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat and Samaches, the Mishnah Berurah says that you don't have to rinse, you don't have to do Mariko Shtifa on the Kos between Kosos number 1 and 2. There's a halacha that a Kos Shel Bracha has to be a respectable Kos, and therefore the Kos Shel Bracha requires Mariko Shtifa. You have to wash it out, and rinse it, and etc. That's the halacha. Between Kosos 1 and 2, you don't have to do that, because you just drank. That's not considered that the Kos is dirty. However, L'cha'ora, you should have to do Mariko Shtifa before Kos number 3. Because between Kos 2 and 3, you have the whole meal. And the Kos can get dirty, so it's a good idea, before you resume the Seder, that you do Mariko and Shtifa on the Kos. That, I think, is the next halacha.
During the rest of the year, when people make... people from people who do, say, make Hasamaza and Olive Kos, do they... Kos? Is that what
they... I mean, they're supposed to.
Let's say it's not dirty. You know, use it for...
Again, if the Kos, I think, is, like, recently shined, you know, you can make Kiddush Friday night and the Kos is like a shining silver, you don't have to wash it out. But it could be that by Birkas HaMazon already, the Kos is dirty and there's like some residual wine, so it's not respectful for a Kleis Shel Bracha to make the Bracha without rinsing the Kos out. Yeah. I think so.
I don't know. I guess. Is there any... I've seen people use... like if they don't have plastic cups, they use a double cup. Is that a thing? Is there a real reason for that?
Yeah, so... Again, there is a discussion in the postgame of Moshe Feinstein and the Tzitz Eliezer disagree as to whether you can make Kiddush on a plastic cup. The Gemara says, I'm not supposed to make Kiddush on a broken cup. Some postgame say that a plastic cup is by definition like broken because you're going to throw it out right away. A broken cup is the pshat that I'll throw it out. And a plastic cup also doesn't have significance because I'll throw it out. That's what Moshe assumes. Tzitz Eliezer says you can make Kiddush on a plastic cup. I never understood the idea of making Kiddush on two plastic cups. I've seen many people do it. The only lumdus I could think for it is that if it's considered a junky cup, because you'll throw it out right away, so then if there are two cups, I'm going to only throw one of them out. I won't throw the other one out. Maybe that's not the same chesaron. Although, quite honestly, I don't know. I don't know. There is a application of this principle to Hilchos Tevilas Kalim. Do you have to tevil aluminum pans? Do you assume that anything that's mamish disposable lacks the shame kli, and therefore you don't have to tevil aluminum pans? And you say no, despite the fact that's disposable, maybe it still has the same status as a kli. The Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Ayin writes that when you say the Haggadah, you should say the Haggadah be'emo v'yira and not be'heseba. But the Haggadah is like a ritual thing. It's like a mitzvah. You shouldn't say the Haggadah leaning over, reclining. You should say the Haggadah like you're doing a mitzvah be'emo v'yira, with terror, with fear, etc. Like we do all of our mitzvahs. Then the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Ayin Aleph notes that you should say V'ne'emar lefonav shira chadasha halaluka. Right? V'ne'emar is in the future. V'ne'emar lefonav shira chadasha halaluka goes back to the past. We're saying halaluka for Yetzias Mitzrayim. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah comments it should be V'ne'emar lefonav, not V'no'emar lefonav, because it's going on the past. It's going on the past, and that's why we say V'ne'emar. There's also a discussion in the Balei HaTosfos and Psachim that Shira refers to Lashon Nekeva. Shira is Lashon Zachar. Shira means like a song that there will be another song after. It's like a woman who will give birth and there will be something that emerges after. So that refers to Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shir Chadash refers to the Geula HaAsida. That's B'Lashon Zachar. So since this is Shira B'Lashon Nekeva, so therefore the Mishnah Berurah comments that you should say V'ne'emar, not V'noimar. My family, as you know, has Chabad Minhagim. In the Alter Rebbe's Haggadah, which is published in the Siddur, he writes, V'nomar lefanav, hallelujah. In other words, he skips the words Shira Chadasha, right? He says, V'nomar lefanav, and we will say in the future, hallelujah, etc. Okay, weiter. The Mechaber writes, when you come to Matzah, you lift up the Matzah, the poskim say that means you lift up the broken matzah, and you say matzah zu. When you come to marorzeh, you lift up the maror. You should not lift up the zeroah when you get to Pesach, because that will look like you're being makdish kachim b'chutz. So therefore, you should not lift up the zeroah when you get to Pesach zesh anu ochlem. When you come to Lefichach, you lift up the kais until you come to Ga'al Yisrael. Now, the Mishnah Berurah over here in Sif Katin, Ayin Beis, he quotes that you should say, V'noch HaShamin, we mentioned this, I think, a couple of days ago, you should say, V'noch HaShamin HaZevachim U'min HaPsachim. Zevachim refers to the Karban Chagiga, Psachim refers to the Karban Pesach. First you have Chagiga, then you have Pesach, because HaPesach Einu Nechal, the Mishnah writes, and they say, HaMakoman, HaPesach Einu Nechal El HaSova, you eat the Pesach after you eat Chagiga, so therefore it's Min HaZevachim U'min HaPsachim. The Shar HaTzion in Os Pei, the Shar HaTzion says, whoa, 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 that would imply that let's say you have a year that Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, which means that Motzai Shabbos, you're making the Seder. So in that year, you can't have a Karban Chagiga, because there is no Karban Chagiga that's brought on Shabbos. So in that year, you should reverse the order and say, V'noichasha min ha-psachim u'min ha-zvachim, not min ha-zvachim min ha-psachim. I was under the impression, based on the Mishnah Berurah that we learned earlier in Sifkat and Chaf Beis, that the Mishnah Berurah has a discussion that maybe in this year of Erev Pesach Shechalias v'Shabbos, maybe you do not need an egg on the Seder plate. So therefore, if you don't need an egg on the Seder plate because it's a different year, so then I think you should change the Nusach to Min HaPsachim Min HaZvachim, not Min HaZvachim U'Min HaPsachim. But since our Minhag is that we have an egg on the Seder plate, so therefore that means that even Erev Pesach Shechalias v'Shabbos, we do it the same way as we always do it, which I think is the main pshat.
And the egg is...
The egg is Zecher Karban Chagiga, yeah.
Where does Karban Chagiga come into Pesach?
Where does Karban Chagiga... Every Yontif, when you're Olah L'Rego, you have to bring the Karban Chagiga. You bring the Karban Chagiga you bring Karban Chagiga, there's Chagigas Yudalit, you bring on the 14th of Nisan, and then you eat it Leil HaSeder, in order so that when you eat the Pesach will be Al HaSova, so that when you, by the time you eat the Pesach, you're going to be fully satiated. And then you eat the Pesach, and that's why you eat the Pesach afterwards, yeah.
Even though we're not even allowed to have meat.
Well, we're allowed to have meat. You just shouldn't have roasted meat, no?
Or roasted meat.
Right. You don't have roasted meat. Again, even that is tali and minhagim. We our minhag is that we don't have tzvi leha pesach. Yeah, everyone holds you shouldn't have a gdim kulas. You shouldn't have like an animal that mamash looks like a carbon pesach. But yeah, we assume that you're allowed to have roasted. It's a machlokes again whether the minhag is not to have roasted meat. Our minhag is that we don't have roasted meat.
So, and what was the korban chagiga? That was an egg.
No, so. The Korban Chagiga was an animal that was hukrav. You're asking how come the egg reflects the Korban Chagiga? So we said over from Rav Vosner as follows. You see, Korban Pesach, you could be makriv even without a Beis HaMikdash. There was a whole discussion about being makriv Korban Bisman Hazeh. What that meant was only Korban Pesach, because Korban Pesach doesn't have to have Reyach Nichoach. While other carbons have to have reyach nichoach, after Korban Habayis, the pasuk says for a reyach od bereyach nichoachem that there's not going to be reyach nichoach anymore. People could bring Korban Pesach after the Beis Hamikdash. Korban Chagiga you can't bring when there's no Beis Hamikdash. So we have an egg, because an egg refers to some dimension of avelos. When you give a sudas havra'a to a person, you give him an egg. The egg shows that there's galgal hachozer ba'olam, that things are round. Things look very bleak now. Bezer Hashem Yisparach, everything's going to get better. It's a galgal hachozer, it's like a round thing. So therefore, the Korban Chagiga is reflected by something that we do avelos on, because we can't have, we're misabel, that we can't have a Korban Chagiga today. In theory, we could have a Korban Pesach, therefore we're not misabel on that.
So why don't we have an egg on the other golem?
Yeah, so apparently Leo HaSeder is more connected to Avelos than the other Yomim Tov, and that's a good question why. Some of the Sarim say because of the Atbash idea, which means that the way our calendar is set up, the day of the week that Leo Rishon Shel Pesach is always the same day of the week that Tisha B'Av is. They always fall out at the same time. So consequently, Leo HaSeder is more of an Avelos type of thing than other Yamim Tovim, because Leo HaSeder is connected to the Tisha B'Av idea they're going to be on the same day of the week. Leo HaSeder also, unlike other Yamim Tovim, which are somewhat complete, Bizman HaMikdash, they sat in the Sukkah, they would shake a lulav and esrig. We sit in the sukkah, we shake a lulav and esrig. They're pretty much doing the same thing that they used to do. We don't have karbanis, so we don't have karbanis on Shabbos also. We don't have karbanis every day also. Leo HaSeder is an opportunity that we really feel that avelos, because the Seder Bizman HaZeh is completely different than the Seder was at their time. The absence of the Korban Pesach, the Korban Pesach was the centerpiece of the Seder. Absent to Korban Pesach, the Seder feels and looks completely different. So I think that's why there's more avelos on the Yontem of Pesach than there is on other times.
And on Shavuos, they didn't do anything special, did they?
Not really.
There was
a Shtei Halechem that they would bring again, but that's like all Korbanos which are missing, which are Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. We're not in the Beis HaMikdash. We don't feel those things. The lack, the absence of a Korban Pesach is something that we all feel, because the Korban Pesach was something that every family would eat on their own. It was something that was done at home rather than being done only in the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore Korban Pesach is more connected. We feel the absence of the Mikdash more on Pesach than we do on other Yom Tovim.
You said that theoretically we could bring the Korban Pesach, right?
Yeah, but no one does, right? No one does. No, I mean, every year there's like one or two people who try to go.
That's the one thing that we should be doing.
That we should bring the Korban Pesach? Okay, so there's a practical consideration. There are many practical considerations. There's a whole literature in the postgame. Ba'akrabas Korbanos Bizman HaZeh. Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, when he wrote a Sefer Drishas Tzion, felt that the biggest impediment to bring a Korban Pesach Bizman HaZeh is the fact that we don't have Tcheles. The Binyan Tzion, Yaakov Ettlinger felt that the real impediment is that you need the Makom HaMizbeach, and we can't positively identify where the Makom HaMizbeach is. Others say that the impediment is the fact that we, what's it called? I'm just looking, I have some sources on Karban Pesach Bizman Hazeh. I could try to upload them to you maybe. But some say that the impediment is just practical.
Oh, for me?
What?
No, thank you. I'll come in a little bit. I'll be done in a little bit. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. I don't seem to have that. Let me just keep on looking. I don't seem to have that document that I can easily find of all my makoros on Karban Pesach. But basically,
So this is a practical thing.
Listen, they won't let us go up to Har HaBayis and be makriv karbanis. No, it's really it's not something that we can easily do. So that's the problem. Yeah. I think so. One second. Maybe I'll have it here. I can't seem to find this document. I have to play around. My problem is I never remember what I name particular documents, which makes my life difficult. Okay. So, b'kitzur ha'ma'aseh, last time we learned, we spoke about how you pour some wine out when you say the Eser Makos. Some say that this is reflective of the idea that Ben Polo Yivcha Al Tismach, that we're not happy that the enemy is destroyed. So therefore we pour some wine out to show our lack of genuine happiness. We spoke last time about whether you do it with your finger, if you do it with your finger, which finger you use. The Mishnah Berurah writes in the Shahar HaTzion that pouring it from the kos is a nice practice. That's the practice that I try to do myself. Those are some of the dinim at the end of Taf Ayin Gimel. Be'ezras Hashem, tomorrow we'll try to learn Taf Ayin Dalet, and I want to try to get through as much of the Seder as we can. I hope that this will make our Seder experience nicer, more understood, more halachic, etc. That sort of is our goal. Can we try to meet to get today at 12:45 for some Gemara?
Okay.
Excellent. Okay, so we'll see you at 12:45. Thanks, Hashem. Cult.
All right.
Bye-bye.